want you to take your Bible and mark several different places. I know this is, I don't usually preach out of this many different passages of Scripture, but tonight I've titled the message, Summer Revival, because that's what you're having, is a summer revival. But I think sometimes, as we as independent Baptists, sometimes I think we get to thinking about revival and we might think it's just where those special meetings that where God moves in and a whole bunch of souls get saved, and kind of like on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls got saved, we would say, boy, that was a big revival. And I'm not against that. I mean, wouldn't it be a blessing for 3,000 people right here in Cortez to get saved?
Amen.
I mean, we would fill up that new building. Amen. I mean, it would all take care of itself just like that. But what I want you to see here tonight as I preach on summer revival, I want you to see some things from the Word of God. So first of all, mark Psalms 106. That's where we're going to go first. Psalms 106. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Then we're going to jump over to the New Testament, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And don't worry if you don't find it. We'll go over it again here shortly, okay? Acts chapter 5. Then we're going to jump back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. And Nehemiah chapter 9. And then 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18. If you didn't get those, that's all right. Just sit back, relax. You'll be all right. I'll bring you along as we move through this. Now, there was a story. Well, first, let's do this. Let's read out of Psalms 106. Psalms 106. Let's start with verse number 34. Now, I'm jumping right here in the middle of this, and you may not understand this, but I'm just going to tell you that God had a problem with Israel, and Israel was doing some things that were wrong. And we need to remember this. Israel was God's people. And who are you today? You're not Israel, but as a child of God, you're part of His family. What a blessing it is to be part of the family of God. What a blessing it is to be part of His people. But I want you to know something here as we think about this, as in Psalms 106. And let me just say, Psalms speak to the heart. And so as we get started here tonight, what I hope happens is God softens our hearts. And really, if there's going to be a softening, there has to be a breaking. And for that breaking to happen in our hearts and in our lives, I pray that you will see this here as we start in Psalms 106 and verse number 34. It says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. Speaking of Israel, they didn't do what the Lord commanded them to do. Now, what I'm trying to point out in this passage of Scripture is what happens when we as believers don't do what God wants us to do. Now, I'm not going to say that this exact thing right here happens to us, but I believe that the application can be made to us in this day and hour as we think about revival and what is summer revival. And I put this down in my notes. Revival is simply getting back to normal Christian living. Let me explain it to you this way. If I was to flop over here, I hope somebody would call 911. Anybody in here do that for me? Thank you, all right? I hope maybe even better than that, like one time when we were up in the mountains and we were just right up here in the mountains outside of Mancos and we were riding our horses up there and some motorcycles came riding down the trail towards us. It spooked my horse, and my son was on a greenbroke horse, and it spooked his horse. And I told him as they were coming, get down, get down. I was trying to get him off the horse. He got halfway off. His foot got stuck in the stirrup. The horse spun around. He hit a rock on his back. A big rock is like a table. He got drug across that. And then as the horse was leaving, she kicked him. Now, some of you might say, I don't know why you like to ride horses, all right? My son would agree with you now, okay? My son was laying right there. I was on the front side. My wife was on the back side riding a horse. And we both saw it happen. We both saw him get kicked and so forth. And I stopped the motorcycles. I stopped the motorcycles and I said, stop, stop, stop. Because, man, we had a big wreck going on. The front guy got off. He says, let me help you. I'm a paramedic. Yeah. It was wonderful. He came over and looked at my son. We thought for sure we were going to have to get life care in, helicopter, get him out of here, out of the mountains and so forth. He looked at him. He said, I don't believe any of his lungs have been punctured. I don't think his ribs are broken and so forth like that. And what a blessing it was to have him right there. But come back to me laying on the ground here. You would say, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. We need to revive Pastor Corley. We need to get him back up. Are you with me? So as we think about summer revival, I believe this. It's us as Christians getting back to where God wants us to be. Just normal Christian living. It's not normal for us to be out in the world and living in sin. It's not normal for a Christian to function that way. And yet in America today, we have Christianity where it is very normal. And our society is pushing us right along that way. Our society is dragging us and yea, even forcing on us things that they're saying this is normal. 10 years ago, we would have never thought we are where we are today. We would have never thought things would be happening like they're happening today. But I'm telling you, where are we as God's people supposed to be? I believe this, normal Christianity in dependence upon Christ. He's my all in all. I may not understand everything. I may not be able to fix everything. Now listen, I'm a fix-it person. If it's broken, I want to fix it. I want to try to figure it out. But you know what? Our dependence upon the Lord, even in those situations that we can't change. Here in Psalms 106, it says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. You know what I've seen for the last 20 years as a pastor? Is people that are not learning the things of God. They're learning how to act like the world. God is saying, my people haven't learned about me. They're learning how to act like the world. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Now, I'm a big basketball person. I'm a big football person. I love sports. I love being involved in sports. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being involved in sports. But I can tell you this much. There's a lot of worshiping going on to sports. We learn. Boy, if there's a ball game tonight, I think I'll just miss church. If there's a ball game, I'll put my effort in, make sure my kids get there. But if it's just church, who cares? Come on. We are passing something on to the next generation. And as we look at this, he says they have not learned them. They're serving idols. They have become a snare to them. Now, I don't think anybody around here is running around worshiping idols. I don't believe in America we're there. But I believe this. We got other things that are our idols. And anything we put before God is an idol. Amen. So we look here as we continue reading. It says, yea, they have sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. What's going on in America? Why are they doing this in our streets? Why is this happening? What's going on? Where is the value of life? Why are we arguing about when to kill a baby? What has gone wrong? I tell you, God's word is saying we've learned the way of the heathen. Verse 38 says, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. Hey, listen. I believe this with all my heart. I can still remember a couple that came to my church, and my heart as a pastor went out to their teenage daughter, and I saw the wreck and I saw the ruin of their teenage daughter, and she was right there in those younger teen years. I call them the meanage years, all right? When they get to be a teenager at our church, we call them meanagers, all right? I hope it doesn't stick. I'm trying to make a joke out of it, but I found some kids can be very nice, and then when they get to be teenagers, it's like, what happened to you? So I saw this young lady, and I thought, they're coming to our church. We can make a difference for her. And I really believe we could. But I'm going to tell you something. Her parents would not give up the world. There's a need for a revival. There's a need for a revival. Parents, there may be, I believe that God is speaking to our hearts tonight. And I believe this with all my heart. If we're going to get the next generation to follow the Lord, I believe that there's going to have to be some things in our life. Yea, the world will not call it sin. Yea, Christians in America will not call it sin. But I'm telling you, the God of this Bible still calls it sin. The God of this Bible is still calling us. Listen to this last part. And the land was polluted with blood. Less than a month ago, you heard about the shooting that happened in Farmington. The land is polluted with blood. Two grandmas going to pick up their granddaughter at school, shot down. It's tragic. The land is polluted with blood. I have to preach a funeral tomorrow. A person died early in life because of sin. The land is polluted with blood. Summer revival. I'm afraid in America today, we've got our nice little Christianity, and we got our nice little churches, and we got our nice little things going on. But where is our heart? Where is our life before God? May God help us tonight. The story is told of a couple that left their little farm, and they traveled to a big city for their 25th year high school class reunion. Boy, I remember when I was on the other side of that, I thought I'd never get there. And now it already went by me, and I'm like, how long ago was that? it's crazy, right, how fast life goes. Anyways, the story goes on here. They discovered that most of their old friends had become wealthy and sophisticated. The simple farmer couple just didn't fit in and the high society, well-to-do crowd. But while there, friends had made it financially and appeared successful, it was also apparent that they had unhappy marriages and empty lives. The story goes on. At the end of the story, the farm couple got off the stagecoach back in front of their humble little farmhouse, as their children bounded out of the house, delighted to welcome them home with hugs, the husband remarked to his wife, "Now, if this is not success, I don't know what is." Now, I think that's pretty good. But at College Heights Baptist Church, we've striven, and as pastor, I've challenged my people. We're not perfect, and I don't stand before you today as a perfect pastor or think I got it all figured out. I know I don't. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I know this. I said, Lord, I don't want to just raise good kids. I want to raise some godly kids. Amen. I want to raise some kids that have a heartbeat for you And I put that philosophy into our church and into our people. And I say, listen, it's not enough just to shoot for a good kid. But may there be in our hearts, and maybe even some of our young couples could get the vision of seeing, hey, it's not just a matter of raising a good kid and keeping our kids around us. But Lord, help us to raise some godly kids. Wherever you take them, whether it be near or far, may they have a heartbeat for God. Did you pick out a couple for me? Volunteers? Can I get my volunteers to come up here? Let's see all my volunteers right quick. I need you right over here as they're coming up here. Is this a husband and wife team? Okay, and very good. All right, just stand anywhere right there. Okay, and this young man right here, is he related to them? No, okay, but you're going to be, okay? All right, but you just kind of move right over that way. What's your name?
Waylon.
All right, so this is Waylon's mom and dad, okay? I'm going to let this pulpit represent righteousness. And I'm going to let this pulpit represent where God wants us to be. And Brother Payne, you've been a good friend of mine until tonight. I want you to come here, and I want you to act like the devil. Now, your wife is not here, so you can... Amen. All right, good. So, now, he's the devil. He's evil. You guys like this too much. What have you been doing up here, man? He's wicked. Okay, enough of that, all right? I think you guys get the picture, all right? I can remember when my pastor, and I was a little bit older than Waylon, I was in college, and I grew up in church. I was a preacher's kid. I always say I was a drug baby. I got drugged to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, okay? They just drugged me to church. But I can tell you this. When I went to college and I was underneath Pastor Dwayne Thorpe, Pastor Thorpe told me in a message, and I remember it very clear. Have you remembered some good messages? You don't want to tell everybody about them right now, do you? Okay, good. Let me preach, all right? So I remember Pastor Thorpe as he said, can you feel it? Can you feel the pull of the world? And Christian, a light went on in my head. I believe this summer you felt the pull of the world. This young man, with this married couple representing their parents, has parents in church that are trying to get him close to the Lord. But the devil and his crowd is down here. And it's not a guy with horns and an ugly suit. It could be something beautiful. And they're beckoning to Waylon, come this way. Come this way. And mom and dad, what I'm trying to say to you tonight, would you guys move over here a little bit closer to Waylon? Okay, go on down a little bit more, Waylon. Right there now. Go on towards him. Move up the steps there, okay? As the devil comes and the temptation gets closer, parents, where should they be? Should they be walking next to the world and close to that side? This is what I want you parents to do. Come over here and bring Waylon with you, okay? Now the devil has to stay there, all right? No more this way. I'll come get you, man, all right? All right, stay right there, okay? I want you to just see this in your mind as an illustration. Maybe there's some couples here. You're not in sin, per se. It's not wrong to be at a ball game. It's not so wrong to maybe miss one service or not go soul winning when we should. It's not so wrong to maybe not read our Bible. I mean, I'm still a good person. Our problem is we're walking closer and closer to the world. We see this in churches. We see churches transitioning. We see churches changing what God's word says is wrong into what is right. The biggest churches in America today, the mega churches that have the most people coming to them today, have moved so far away from where God wants them to be in their Christian walk, they're right here. My challenge to you on this summer revival is to move your family to this side. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Far away from that as we can get. So there's not a chance by the grace of God. Now we realize this in reality. We all have choices to make. We can all make mistakes, even a preacher. But by the grace of God, may we commit our life. I'm going to live here. And I've been praying there would be some families, maybe just one, that tonight God would get a hold of that heart. Listen to me. You got kids at junior camp. You know what happens at junior camp? Some wonderful things as the preaching of God's word gets hold of their hearts. And they get on fire for God. Yes. Only to come home to a family that didn't shift over here, but stayed right here. Thank you. You guys can be seated. Appreciate that. Let's give them a hand. Compromise. It doesn't take very much. The more we as Christians compromise into worldliness, the further our children will walk in the world. Parents, you mark it down. You walk right there, your children will probably walk right here. There's nothing promising that our children, and by the way, I did not make my children. Now, as long as they went underneath my roof, they lived by my rules. But I was smart enough to know I'm not going to make my children. In fact, you will build up a wall of resistance. But I put before my children the truth of God's word. And I have seen God's word work in their hearts and in their lives. Just like your children at junior camp are being preached the word of God. What is changing their life? What is at work? The preaching of God's word. And may they come home to parents who have been to a summer revival.
Amen.
And something has happened. Amen?
Amen?
Something has happened in our life. Now, the more we as Christians compromise into the world, the further our children will walk in the world. Judges 2:10 says, And also all the generation that gathered unto their father, and there rose another generation after them. Listen to these next couple of words. I have them highlighted here. Which knew not the Lord. I'm a grandpa now. What a blessing it is to be a grandpa. But you know what bothers me? Is if my grandkids don't know Jesus Christ. Another generation coming along. Christian, we in America, we can keep walking right here. We can just sing, hey, that old fundamental Baptist preacher, he's over there and he's just yelling at us because that's just who he is. But we're fine. We're fine. I'm telling you what's happening is the generation coming behind us does not know the Lord. There's a problem. Do we need revival? We need revival.
Yes.
I was looking at the population here in Cortez, 8,766 in 2022. In the Montezuma County, 26,468. You say, preacher, why are you looking at these? Because I'm telling you, you're the salt.
Yeah.
You're the light. You're the one that is hearing God's word. And this society that we are ministering to, this society that you're reaching out to, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, they think they're fine. This world doesn't want to be bothered with Jesus. Christian, we need to be that light. May our families be the ones that are there. Revival. What is revival? According to God's word, the Lord is the great reviver of his people. When we talk about revival, I want to talk about the term revive. It's found in various forms, but only about 15 times in our King James Bible. It means to give life, to live, to make alive, to bring back to life. Remember I talked about being down and I would need to be revived? Somebody help him, get him back to normal. My friend, that's what God does. God helps us get back to where we need to be. That's the biblical term of revival. Back to normal Christian living. Just doing what God wants us to do. You might say, man, I hear the messages all the time. How many have heard the message, read your Bible? How many heard the message, you need to pray? Okay, what's the next one? Go to church. Okay, what's the next one? You guys got this drilled down, don't you? Oh, yeah, we do. We know all these things. But it's not just a matter of a head knowledge. It's a matter of owning it in our hearts. It's a matter of, you know what? I'm going to be in complete dependence upon Christ. I need him in this day and hour. How are we going to live? How are we going to make it? I'm going to tell you the same way the apostles did, the same way that the doctrine that's been handed down to us will continue until the day that Jesus Christ comes back. There will be people that will depend on him. May we be that people. May we be that people. The question comes, do we really want revival? Here's the problem. Summer revival. Of course I want it. I'm here tonight. No. I'm not letting you off that easy. Do we really want it? There are some people who want revival and some who don't. There are some who passively do not care. There are some people who know what revival means. They have experienced revival in their heart. There are some people who don't want spiritual revival because it would disrupt many of their personal plans. Revival. It should interrupt our own agenda. What's going on here this week? It's a humbling of our will to God's will. I want to speak to you for just a few moments more. And I want to give you three points, three things that come before revival. Some events that precede revival. This first one is very... Very morbid. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5. It's something that really happened. Acts chapter 5. And I have to confess as a pastor, this should be pretty cool. Not really. But I think it would change our churches. You say, what's going on in Acts chapter 5? If you're familiar with your Bible, you know this is the passage about Ananias and Sapphira. And you know that they made this plan when they sold some land. They said, we're going to act like we're giving this much to God. But really, we're not giving the true amount. We're just acting like it. And they lied to God. They lied before God. And they lied before the people. And they came in. And you know the story as Ananias came in. And he gave, and the next thing you know, he needed reviving from the dead. He was dead, and they carried him off. And Sapphira, his wife, come on, we had a husband and a wife up here, and they're making plans. They can make plans either to do things right or to pad things for themselves. They can make plans whichever way they want. God does not demand that we must do this. He's not programmed us just to go this way. He gives us a free choice. And in that free choice, he gives to us that opportunity to come serve him and live for him. We see a death happen here. Sometimes death comes before revival. Here in Acts chapter 5, look with me at verse number 11. It says that after that they had been carried away, and verse 10 at the end of it says, buried her by her husband. Verse number 8 says, and great fear came upon all the churches and upon many as heard these things. Okay, think about this. If you heard about College Heights Baptist Church and a couple fell dead over there, you'd be like, I ain't going to that church. Come on. I mean, something happened in there. But I'll tell you what happened in that day and time, as the scripture records. Great fear fell upon the people. You know, the question might come, preacher, why did God do that? I think that's a good question you can ask him when you get to heaven. I think that's a good question. But I know this, God used that to draw many people to him. The church changed, and as this came upon him, as we see, revival came not comes not to an individual heart where sin is. Sin must be put out. And I'm saying to us, as they came and they found Ananias and Sapphira, they found them dead. But verse number 11 says, and great fear came upon the church and upon many that heard these things. Drop down to verse number 14. As it says there, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. I'm saying to us tonight, sometimes death comes. Now, I'm not saying somebody's going to die, but I'm saying in the book of Acts, God used this death, and many were brought to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, as I read it there in verse number 14. But I want us to realize this, that God's word gives us two kinds of death. The first is actual death, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. The second is spiritual death. Prior to revival at any church, there must be a dying of self on the part of its members. Lighthouse Baptist Church, we got to deal with sin. If we don't deal with sin, we're not having revival. I remember a young man coming up to me in February, and I had read a few news reports about it, the Ashbury Revival. Anybody else in here heard about that? You may have heard about it. I'm not going to get off on it. And he was telling me how great it was and how wonderful it is. I want to say this. Revival that does not bring change in God's people. And I'm not just talking about at a service. I'm not just talking about going through a long, quote, worship service, quote, prayer service. I'm talking about changed lives. Yes. Where people are gathering together to go out and establish a local New Testament church and do the work of the Lord. As I think about people saying, we want revival, but I believe there has to be a death to this physical sin around us. As Romans 6:11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first thing I'll say is death is needed before revival comes. The second thing, I want you to go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. In the book of Nehemiah, we see something that happens here. Now, I guarantee you, if I was getting ready to come to your house, some of you might say, let me clean it first. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. All right? But we've all had those moments when somebody shows up at the door and we're like throwing things like a tornado. Put this here, put this here, put this here. Some of you are like, it don't matter to me, just come on in, all right? I get that. But I set my second point tonight, there needs to be a cleansing. Cleansing comes before revival. Now, I'm not saying we have to take a bath before we get right with God. Don't get me wrong there. But I believe that there, even as we see, look here in Nehemiah chapter 9 at verses 1, 2, and 3. It says in Nehemiah chapter 9, "Now in the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, that their God, one part of the day, and another part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God." Now, as I think about this cleansing that took part, I'm saying to us tonight, here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, that revival comes in an individual's heart when sin is dealt with. I think there needs to come a time when we get honest with God and we get on our knees before God. And I love the way Brother Billy Ingram would say it. We need to unload the truck. I believe that there's some times in our life when we got a lot of luggage that we're carrying with us. And if we're going to have revival, if we're going to get right with God, there needs to be some cleaning. There needs to be maybe just some people come to this old-fashioned altar and empty their load and leave it here. And when you get up, don't take it with you. Leave it there. How are we going to have revival? I'm telling you, there's going to need to be a cleansing from the sin. What kind of sin? The sin of unfaithfulness. The sin of unfaithfulness to the house of God. The sin of unfaithfulness in prayer. The sin of unfaithfulness in Bible study. The sin of neglect must be confessed. The sin of the world must be given up. I'm telling you, sometimes we are so attached to this world, we don't want to clean up our life. We're just happy where we're at, and we'll shake our fist in God's face and say, "You just take me as I am." And God is telling us, "I want you to do some cleaning up in your life." Revival cannot come to a church when sin is present, unconfessed, and unforsaken. I wonder what kind of home those kids will come home to. Has there been something nobody knows about in your life? And God, the Holy Spirit tonight, is putting his finger on it. And he's saying to you, you need to unload this. You know what it is. You know what you're wrestling with. And listen, all of us here tonight need to hear this kind of preaching.
Amen.
God, help me to be right with you. Lord, help me to get this sin out of my life. Revival comes when there's honest confession unto the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That is the cleansing I'm talking about. No, I'm not talking about a self-cleansing of ourselves, but what we give to Jesus and say, "God, I can't get the victory in this, but will you cleanse me?" My friend, upon his word, he says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. And I pray that we, even here tonight, would be that way. And the only way that's going to happen is my third point, is if there's humility. We've got to be humble. Pride will mess us up. I don't need this. I don't need this preacher telling me how bad I am. You know what? The world feels that way. The world says, "Oh, you're just playing a mind game with people." My friend, I'm not playing a mind game with people. I'm preaching God's word. And when I preach God's word, I can stand on the authority of God's word, that God's word reaches into hearts, and God's word changes hearts. I had the privilege last week to go out on the Navajo Reservation, and there were about 80 Navajo Indians that gathered around, and we were supposed to train 8 horses, and I only trained 4 of them, and I ran out of energy, all right? But it was a blessing to be able to train those horses and to preach the gospel at the same time. It was a blessing to share the truths of God's word. And one thing I share with people in breaking a horse is never usable to the master until he will humble himself and say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm telling you tonight, God's speaking to hearts. And he's asking you to humble yourself. He's asking you to humble yourself before the Lord. Humility is meeting with God on his terms. Turn with me to our last passage of scripture that I wanted to take you to tonight. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, Hezekiah had become king of Judah. He did some things in the time that he reigned. Look at verse number 3 in 2 Kings chapter 18, and verse number 3 says, and he did that which was, what's the next word?
Right.
Right. He humbled himself. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Where is this preacher asking you to go? To do right in the sight of God. Not right in my eyes, not right in our own eyes, but right in the sight of God. We can all justify sin. It's amazing to me, and I know your preacher has heard things like this, and how people, and how we, let's just get right down where we are, how we can justify sin. Ooh-wee. I don't believe it happened that way. I think sometime at one point he might have been, whoops, I shouldn't look over there. I'm telling you, there's another generation coming behind you. It says, he did according to all that David his father did. Now here's some good things that he did. And I believe we need this. Hezekiah, notice verse 4. He removed, amen? He removed the high places. You know what? There's some high places in our life that need to go down. Hezekiah came into a nation. They were going the wrong direction. He said, I'm going to take care of this. We're going to remove some high places. I think what would happen at Lighthouse Baptist Church is some families decided some high places that don't belong there are going to go. Some high places are going to go. And break down the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent. Get this. The brazen serpent that Moses had made. Talk about holy cows. This is a holy snake. But what had happened with the holy snake? It had become something that religion had made it an object of worship. He said it needs to go. Why? Because it's taking the place of God. He broke it in pieces. God's word said that was a good thing. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it. It became a distraction. My friend, we got a lot of things that are distracting us from the things of God. What is summer revival about? I believe it's about these things right here that God is talking to us about. Secondly, notice in verse number 5, he trusted in the Lord. That is awesome. So that after him was none like him according to all the kings of Judah. It's amazing to me as we see this, and even as you look at verse number 6, it says this, the third thing that he did, Hezekiah did, he followed God, for he clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him. Hey, listen tonight, I believe that there needs to be some humility. And I tell you, one of the things that is keeping us from reaching the next generation and serving God is our hypocrisy, where we're acting like, hey, let's just go to church and get everything right. And my friend, we're ignoring the very thing that God is saying to us, I want you to deal with this. There needs to be some humbling in our life. Coming before God and saying, Lord, I'm going to get this out of my life. And I'm not going to walk as close as I can to the world. I'm going to move over here. I'm going to move over here. And I'm going to be where God wants me to be. There's a big need for the average Christian to just follow God. Remember I said at the beginning, revival is us getting back to normal Christian living?